That one's familiar to us. I selected that one today because of what we're going to be sharing about. There was a specific two lines or the specific statement that he said, "I'm tired of you messing with my family, and I'm tired of you messing with my church." And that's how I feel, okay? You're my family. I'm tired of him messing with you, and you're my church, and I'm tired of him messing with you. And I want you to be tired of him. There is a solution, and I want to get to the solution today. So, here we go, okay? I may weep, I may shout, I don't know, but I'm going to have fun whichever way I go. We're in a series of messages, and we're calling it the Spirit-Filled Life. The Spirit-Filled Life. This is the fourth message, and what I want to get to today is why have a Spirit-Filled Life? What's the purpose of having a Spirit-Filled Life? And that's sort of where I'm heading today. The first message that we talked about was you demand. You demand. And we talked there that right now you demand. You are what God has called. He's given you His Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells within us. And that Spirit dwells within us to change us, to make us into His image. We're supposed to be like Jesus. And whatever things that He did, we're supposed to do. In fact, He says, not only will you do what I did, but greater things shall you do. So we're here to have the Spirit of God, the Spirit-filled life, to do what Jesus did. You demand. Say that back to me. I'm demand. I'm demand. Second message. You're the woman too. Second message we talked about is fill her up. Fill her up. To have this Spirit-filled life, we must continually position our bodies, position ourselves, position our soul, present ourselves to God in a way that He can fill us. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We allow other things to fill us. We allow greed, our hate, our anger, our lust, our perversions, our any other things to fill our lives so that we're not in a position to be filled by the Spirit. And we talked about we have to continuously position ourselves, continually put ourselves in a position so that we can be filled by the Spirit. The third message that we talked about was, are you hungry? That was last week. Are you hungry? We talked about tongues. Tongues is not the seal of a Spirit-filled life. I've known a lot of people that I wanted to even had the Spirit that talked in tongues. But that's not the seal of a Spirit-filled life, but it's obviously something to do with it. When the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, when tongues came upon them, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's a part of this, and we looked at that last week, and it comes from a hunger. If you speak in tongues, one day you were so hungry for God that you would do anything. Well, there was a time when you wanted it so badly, you wanted Him so badly, you wanted His presence in your life so desperately that you were willing to do anything. So you received tongues. But I wasn't happy with that message. And as I, you know, after you've ministered for 16, 17 years, preaching every week, several times a week, going to different places, you know when what your lesson said, if it did its job or not. You know if it was successful. I didn't feel successful last week. I felt like something wasn't accomplished, and so I began Monday talking and discussing it with people that are around me and praying about this, trying to find out what is it, why are we not hungry, because we're not what I call a hungry church. We're not as hungry as we have been in the past, and I think I have some answers for us today. I think I have an answer as to why we're not what I want to see at LifeGate right now, a hungry, thriving church that is out winning souls and is receiving the Spirit of God and ministering and functioning in the gifts all the time. And I know we are to a degree, but there's something that we're not at that I want to see us get to here. And I think I have an answer, and I want to share that with you today. There are probably hundreds of reasons why we lose our hunger for God. Probably hundreds. But they all will involve one. All the numbers of reasons that we will lose our hunger for God will always come back and will include this particular one. And it's basically that we begin to go through stuff. We have stuff going on in our lives. And stuff consumes us. It's not necessarily we planned it that way. It may have just come on us. Something happened in our lives. Wasn't planned. But anyhow, stuff begins to remove our hunger for God. Right now, in our body, in our family, I see things happening. And I just want to just remind of a couple of these things. We've got some people facing and battling very serious diseases, such as cancer in our body. Now, that'll mess with your hunger. Because you're worried, you're thinking, you're under chemotherapy, you're going through radiation, you're going through this stuff, and you don't really feel like being hungry for God right now because you're worried about your very life. Mess with your hunger. We've got other situations. We've got people that are having upcoming surgeries. Are people recovering from surgeries? Now, that'll get on your mind. That'll mess with your hunger. We've got other things. We've got things like parents extremely concerned with their children. Let me know your kids will get on your mind and start messing with your hunger for God. We've got the other thing around. We've got parents whose children are very concerned about. We've got some parents that people in our family whose parents are aged or are very sick, very ill. And that'll mess with your hunger. Your mama gets sick, your daddy gets sick, and they can't function. How many knows that gets on your mind? And you have a difficult time even getting to church, much less being hungry when you get here. Sometimes I'm just glad some of you make it. Amen. So we've got these things going on, serious relationship problems in the church. Some things are going on where people are having to make midlife major decisions. You see, when you get to midlife, it's supposed to pan out. You know, it's supposed to plane off. You're not supposed to have to make these big life-changing decisions. You know, and so you start asking God, God, where are you? What's going on here? What's going on in my life? Why am I having to make this decision at this point in my life? Got those kinds of things going on. And right now, probably more than any other time in the history of my ministry, are more things happening. And some very serious things happening that I've never had to face. And so there's a lot happening. Now we're filled with stuff. Something's happened that has allowed stuff to come in and mess with our hunger. Now, with that said, I want to read some scriptures. I want you to realize, though, that just before now, just before all of this came, we were at an edge of breakthrough. We were having our largest crowds. We were having our most evangelistic time. We were getting people saved, filled, thrilled, happy. And all of a sudden, something happens. The reason I'm pointing this out is I want you to realize and think. Something's behind it. There's something behind it. Now, would you stand with me? I want to read these scriptures. Read out loud with me. Reading about five passages, five scriptures. So read out loud with me, then we'll pray and we'll get started. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Ephesians 6:10, 11, and verse 18 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. The title of today's lesson is the Spirit-filled life and war. War. You are at war. We are at war. Let's pray. Father, help us. Lord, I want to communicate what I sense. I don't want to go through a religious service. I want something to be accomplished. I want Satan to bite the dust. I'm tired of him messing with my family, and I'm tired of him messing with this church. I'm tired of him keeping us from breakthrough. I'm tired of it, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to help us. I pray for the listeners, Lord, that they will hear what the Spirit has to say. I pray for me, Lord, as I go forth as a sower sowing seed, that it will fall only on good soil. and it will bring forth 160 and 30-fold. That something will take place today. Something will take place in our lives that we'll see that Satan is messing with us. And it's time for him to stop. Help us, Lord God, still the enemy. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Be seated. Be seated. First, we're told that we have an enemy. A lot of times in the kingdom circles, we feel like the devil really isn't our enemy any longer. Once we're saved, we get beyond the devil. How many knows that's a big joke? You're more attacked as a Christian than you were as a non-Christian. Secondly, we're told that though we have an enemy and though he will try to establish strongholds in our lives, we're also told that there are weapons that aren't natural, but they're mighty through God to the destruction of those strongholds. There are weaponry that will stop him and defeat him. There are weapons. And then thirdly, we're told to use the weapons. We're told to put on our weaponry, to use our weapons, to take the weapons and to use them. And I found that extremely interesting that the Apostle Paul needed to tell the Ephesian believers that they needed to use the weaponry that God had given them. Because, you see, they were facing the same things we're facing. They were facing sicknesses. They were facing people having financial problems. They were facing people having marital problems. They were facing the same things that you and I are facing today. They were facing. And so Paul says the way to defeat the enemy, to stop the enemy, to steal the enemy, is by putting on your weaponry and using it. So I want to get there. That's where I'm going. I want him stopped. First Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, would you say that back to me, your adversary? Your adversary, the devil, now let's make it personal. My adversary, the devil, say that. My adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I want you to see that it's our adversary. It's your adversary, it's my adversary. It's our enemy. This thing is out to destroy you. It's out to destroy me. This thing is a picture. What Peter gives us about this thing is a roaring lion at full stride, chasing you, attempting to jump on you. Have you ever heard it said that he's just a toothless bully? Have you ever heard that? And that, you know, people will say that until they get bit by that toothless bully. And then they find out, you know what, he does have some teeth, doesn't he? Yeah, they're about that long. And what the picture that Peter preaches is showing us here is that roaring lion is after you at full stride, and he's leaping with claws and teeth to rip us apart, to tear our legs, our limbs off, to devour us. That's the picture that Peter prints. Pictures. How many of you know that's really the truth? And if he can find a way to devour you, he will. And it's our adversary. He's our enemy. After we get bit by the devil and we've gone through this teaching, well, you know, he's just a toothless bully, you find those people saying things like, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I loose you. And, you know, and they go through all this stuff, but it's always after they get bit. Yeah, what I want us to see is there's something we can do to prevent the bite. There's something we can do to not only bring down what's already been built in our lives, a stronghold, but there's also something we can do to prevent it from getting built again. There is a solution. There is something to stop him. And this is where I'm wanting to get. And I want us to see each of us have our adversary. Each of us. I'm going to try to say it a couple of different ways, and then I'll fix it if I mess it up. But each of us has our stronghold. Each of us has our adversary. Each of us has, if you will, our demon. Now, I'm not talking about there's a bunch of devils out there. There's one devil. There is the serpent who is more subtle than all. But I'm talking about each of us has our weakness. Each of us has this place inside of us that if the enemy can establish there and build a stronghold there, a demonic stronghold, it will destroy us. If I allow him to come into my life and build the stronghold that he wants to build in me, and I don't tear it down and I don't guard against him building it again, it will destroy me. Your adversary, our adversary, my adversary. This is real. And this life and death. It's abundant life or abundant destruction. He's out to destroy, to devour. And then in 2 Corinthians 10:14, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, what the enemy does, we have an enemy that's established. Here's how he comes. He comes into our lives to build a stronghold. He gets into our lives somehow, some way. He's looking to find a way. He's going about looking to find a way to get into your head, into your body, into your spirit, into your soul, so that he can get in there and develop a stronghold. And he will use anything he can, anything, to devour you. Resist the devil. Flee. Resist him. Draw nigh unto God, and he will flee. That tells us in itself that he's always looking to devour. He's always trying to find a crack, a crevice, a door, an entrance. Every one of us have one. Now let's list some things. Let's list some strongholds that are obvious. And let's talk about these just real briefly, but just to get us all on the same wavelength of how the enemy comes. Let's list a couple of them. How about habits? Is habits the stronghold? Can a alcoholic habit cause devouring? It will. How about drugs? Are people's lives utterly destroyed because of drugs? Devoured. The enemy got in, built a stronghold. How about lust or perversion? I'm going to share a story in just a few minutes about a man who had everything. But because he had a dish in his backyard, Satan found that he could get in to this man through that dish. He found an entrance. He found a crack. He found a way to come in and establish a stronghold. How about greed? Greed. Will greed destroy a life? Will greed develop a stronghold, mess your finances up, mess your life up? How about rebellion? Rebellion against God-given authority. Now, I'm not talking about your preacher. I'm talking about people in our lives. It can be your parents. I can rebel against God-given authority of my son. My son has put in my life to help me, to give me counsel. I receive counsel from him. And if I am in rebellion to that counsel, who's at loss? It can be your wife, your husband. It can be your child. It can be your parents. It can be your it can be anybody. Who has God put there to help you avoid the adversary? Yeah. If we're in rebellion to that, guess what? We're devoured. How about financial discipline? Is that a problem to many? Can Satan find a stronghold in your finances? Get you so in debt you can't give to the kingdom of God, get you so in debt you can't enjoy your life? How about anger? Is that one? Can anger so control you? Cause unforgiveness? Develop sickness in your body? Laziness? Laziness one? People get lazy? Gluttony? Uh-oh. Can that kill you? This is what I'm talking about. He wants to find a way in, and he'll use anything. Anything. And the way he comes at you might not be the way he comes at me. And the way he comes at the one to your right or to your left might not be the way he comes at you or at me. But he's looking. He's seeking. He's trying to find an entrance. He's looking for what he can devour. How he can come in there and develop a stronghold that will destroy us. And if that stronghold is not brought down, and if that stronghold is not kept out, it will devour us. It will destroy us. Now I want to just share a couple of examples, two stories quickly. I know a man who had everything. Beautiful wife. He had three of the most gorgeous children you've ever seen. He had his own business, made a lot of money. Had money set back for his kids to go to school, had savings, lived in a several $100,000 home. Nice automobiles. Was a church leader. You mean Satan can do this, can destroy it and devour it? You better believe it. He had everything. He had everything going for him. Well respected in the community. Loved. Nice guy. But he bought him a satellite dish and he put it in his backyard. And he got hooked on pornography. He became a very perverted man. Messed him up. Everything I said that about this man was in the past tense. He had a wife. He doesn't have a wife, this wife anymore. He doesn't have those children. Another man is now married to his wife. Another man is now raising his children. No house. No home. No money. His perversion devoured all of his money. His perversion took away his wife. His perversion took away his children. His stronghold that was in him destroyed this man. He has nothing. He's no longer respected. You see, what the enemy wants to do is come and not only devour you, but embarrass you. He wants to come, belittle you, spit on you. That's what he wants to do. And unless we learn to use the weaponry, our stronghold will kill us, will devour us. Tell you of another one that's not sin. You see, I want you to know that it doesn't have to be sin to devour you. I had a brother-in-law, a good brother-in-law, loved his wife. In fact, when I preached his funeral, I preached to him about how his passion was his wife. He had children, he loved his family, he loved life. But Jimmy had a habit. He smoked. Smoked cigarettes. And though Jimmy was a good man, Jimmy developed cancer. Lung cancer. And only a few months after it was diagnosed, we buried Jimmy. See, it doesn't have to be sin. It's a habit. It's just something that the enemy can come in and develop a stronghold in our lives to devour us. Now there's no more Jimmy. And his family's hurting. His wife cries. So, sir, ma'am, you, and cigarette smoking is not in the Bible and it's not sin, but I want you to know. I want you to know. It will kill you. It will devour you. And unless you get a handle on that, and just using that one example, it can be alcohol. It doesn't have to be sin. The enemy is looking for some way in to take you out. Amen. My point is that the enemy is seeking whom he may devour and how he may devour them. Now, some strongholds we allow. The man I told you earlier about, he allowed that stronghold. Had he confessed that stronghold, had he came to those that loved him and cared about him, had he come and confessed that stronghold and allowed them to minister to him, he could have brought that stronghold down. That stronghold could have been taken and annihilated in his life, and he could still have everything that he ever had. But he didn't. He didn't use the weaponry that God had given him. My brother-in-law, had he stopped smoking? See, there are some things we allow, but there are other strongholds that we don't allow. And we don't know sometimes how they come in. You see, there's a passage in Exodus chapter 20 that talks about the curses of the fathers, or the generations that have come to that are cursed unto third and fourth generation. Now that doesn't mean God's cursed you, but it does mean that what your parents passed on to you through the gene system, through your DNA, could come upon you. And you had nothing to do with it. It's just the way we are made. I am a part of my dad and a part of my mom, and it's just the way it had to be. It wasn't that God was mad at me or mad at my parents. It's just the way we're made. And sometimes we inherit strongholds. For example, a woman with breast cancer, what did she do to get breast cancer? She didn't do anything. Was that passed through the genes? Maybe. How did that happen? I don't know. But it's a stronghold and it needs to be brought down. Can we bring it down? Absolutely. Or the Bible is lying. Is that what 2 Corinthians says? That we are given weaponry to bring down the strongholds that He has in our lives? So, in Ephesians 6:10 it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Be able to stand. That these strongholds won't take you out, but you'll stand. You're happy. You're healthy. You stand. Put it on so that. Here's why we're Spirit-filled. Here's why we have a Spirit-filled life. Here's why we have this weaponry given to us, is so that we can stand. No one is immune to the enemy. And Paul says to put it on. It was interesting to me that he had to tell them to be strong in the Lord. He had to tell them to put on the armor. And that's what I'm doing for us today. I'm telling us. I'm reminding us. We've been given this weaponry. I'm telling us, like Paul told those believers that were going through the very same things that we're going through. Here's the solution. Here's what's robbing your hunger, robbing your joy, robbing your peace. Here's what's taking us out of where God wants us to be. And consuming us and filling us with things that sometimes we can stop and sometimes we can't. Here's the solution. He says, put on the armor of God. Realize you're in a battle. Now, why would you put the armor on? Now, look, we're not guarding the tomb of the unknown soldiers here. We're not getting all dressed up to guard a tomb of unknown soldiers. We're getting dressed up to battle. And he goes, you know the story. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on your salvation. You know, a lot of times we think we're just saved, but we don't put on salvation. Why would Paul say put on your salvation? Think about that just a second. I know we're saved. I know we've confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and when we pass away in this lifetime, there's a better place. And I know all of that stuff, but I'm talking about there's times you got to put on our salvation. On your head. Think right. Put your salvation on your head. He wants to save our souls, our thinking, our thought process. Put it on. Put on your salvation, your breastplate of righteousness. Start doing some things right. If you're smoking, stop. You understand, I'm not getting after you if you do. I'm not condemning you, for there is therefore now no condemnation. I'm just trying to tell you, it's a stronghold. You need to stop. Put on your breastplate of righteousness. Just do some stuff that right you know you need to do. This isn't weird, hard to do stuff. You just know you need to do it. Stop spending so much money on junk. Just do some stuff right. Put on your righteousness around your heart. Get your heart right. Your vital organs. Protect them. Belt. Truth. Put on some truth. Gird yourself up with truth. Gospel of peace on your boots. Put your boots on. You're at war. It's not time for barefootedness. It's not time to run through the daisies and go wading in the water. We're at war here. Let's put some boots on. The gospel of peace. Amen. Walk in some peace. Find the word of God. How does it? Let's walk in that peace. Put on our salvation. Take up the shield of faith, which is able to do what? Quench every dart. Every dart. Take up that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then what do we do? We're looking good now. We got on our helmet, and we got on our breastplate, and we got on our belt, and we got on our boots, and we got this shiny shield and this big old sword, and we're looking good, and we're guarding the tomb of the unknown soldiers. What do we do now? You just looking good? I'm a Christian, bless God. Yeah, you looking good. Your life's messed up. I started to say, your life's not good, but you looking good. Children are a mess, but you looking good. What do we do now? Now that we're all dressed up, now we got all this weaponry, what do we do? So this is what I really want us to see. This is what I've said everything to bring it to this point. The next verse, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always. Why do we get dressed up?
Pray.
To pray. It's not just so we can be Christians and looking good here. Praying always. Put it all on. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You need the Spirit. You need your tongues, folk. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Not just for yourself.
Right.
Let's look at this from another version from the NIV. And praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Several things here that Paul talks about praying. See, the reason that we get all this on, our nice helmet and our breastplate and our belt and our boots and our shield and our sword, is so we can go to war. We can attack. And we can pray. That's how we attack. That's how we bring down strongholds, is by attacking those strongholds. That's how we bring them down. That's how we keep them out of us, is by praying, by guarding it. You know, I want to say this. Folks, we don't pray like we should. And I'm not putting that just on us. I don't know of many churches. There are a few, but I don't know of many churches that really pray the way they should. We don't. Prayer is a drudgery for most of us. Prayer is something we feel we have to do, not that we want to do, because we don't understand prayer. We don't understand what's accomplished in prayer. You see, what's accomplished in prayer is a stronghold is sieged. What's accomplished in prayer is after a period of time, strongholds will come down. After that stronghold is brought down, strongholds can be kept out. The enemy can't attack. Paul says a couple of things here I just want to point out. First of all, he says, pray on all occasions. We should pray when things are good and when things aren't so good. Now, we don't mind praying when things aren't good. You know, buddy, I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And press, bless me. You know, and boy, we're after it when things aren't going well, but on all occasions.
Right.
You see, when things are going good for me, I need to be praying for you.
Right.
Because you can't pray for yourself. You're going through something that's got you concerned. You've got something going on in your life, and you're not able to really pray. Oh, you're praying. But you can't pray like somebody that's not going through it can pray for you. Pray on all occasions. Good times and bad times. He also says all kinds of prayers. All kinds of prayers. There's all kinds of prayers. There's praying. Paul says, I will pray in my spirit and I will pray in my understanding also. What's that talk about? Well, I can pray in tongues and I can pray in my understanding also. I can pray a prayer of thanksgiving. I can pray a prayer of binding. I can pray a prayer of loosing. I can pray a prayer of blessing. I can pray a prayer of healing. I can sing a prayer. Do you know that all the psalms that we pray are songs? And Paul says, singing unto yourselves, making psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in your heart unto the Lord. You can sing a prayer. There's all kinds of prayers. And when we come together to pray, this is what should happen. All kinds of prayers. We thank God, we bind, we loose, we pray in the Spirit, we pray in our understanding also, all kinds of prayers. Something's going to hit it. You know, shoot a shotgun. Something's going to hit it. All kinds of prayers. And he says, keep on praying. Keep on praying for all the saints. Keep on praying. Why? Keep on praying for. I guess this is the first time that this particular part, because my whole thing that got me here was knowing what's all going on in our body. Now, personally, I'm doing pretty well. Personally, my life's okay. But I have to pray for you now, because some of you need my prayers. Some of you are going through stuff you ain't never gone through before. Some of you need us to be praying for you. Now, let me kind of give you an analogy here. It says, keep on praying for all the saints. If there's a stronghold and we send one guy to take down that stronghold, what are his odds? And there's a stronghold and we send one prayer after that stronghold, what are the odds? Think now, first the natural, then the spiritual. Think now. He can do all he can do. But the odds are not good. But when an army, and what Paul has given to us here is putting on all this armor. He's given you the baddest, I know that's not a word, he's given you the baddest army weapon of his day, the Roman army. They could go and annihilate any stronghold. Jerusalem, AD 70, was sieged by the Roman army. Walls so thick, it was sieged. Until it was taken. When there's a stronghold in a life, sometimes one little battle doesn't take that stronghold down. That stronghold must be sieged day after day, week after week. A couple of years, this city, this great city was sieged. But finally, it came down. The battering rams kept hitting the walls. The fights and the struggles kept going on. But one day it fell. And it's that way in our lives. One little prayer ain't going to bring down a stronghold. It takes an army. And we come together and we begin to siege a cancer. Guess what's going to happen to that cancer? That cancer's coming down! We begin to siege a family problem. Guess what's going to happen? Family problem's coming down! We begin to siege a financial situation that a family's going through. Guess what's going to happen? It's coming down. And every single stronghold, Paul says, can be quenched. Every single dart that the enemy shoots at us can be stopped. Every stronghold developed in your life or my life can come down. But it's only going to come down through prayer. And a prayer that sieges. Not just shoots a little arrow. Ping. We're talking battering rams. We're talking stone throwers. The stone cometh. We're talking an arsenal of arrows. We're talking shooting fire. We're talking everything we've got. We're talking about a UE helicopter going and seeking out that stronghold and blowing it to smithereens, blowing it away. Because our weapons are mighty. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds in your life and in my life. And we got to pray, people. If we're going to get our breakthrough, and I've thought about this week, every time we get right about this place, think about it, every time we get right about this place, right at the place of breakthrough, this stuff happens. Something comes in, the enemy sees something happening. Here he comes. It's time to pray. We're at war. You with me? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Every Wednesday night this month. I know it's summer. I know it's vacation time. I know we're building. We're going to pray. We're going to come in. We're going to pray. If you'll come pray with us, great. If you can stay 5 minutes, great. If you can stay the whole time, great. If you want to come light a candle, I will. I'll light a candle. Prayer. You can come during the week and pray. You can come anytime you want to and pray. But every Wednesday night, we're going to meet here, 7 o'clock. We're going to pray. We're going to put our prayer requests. We're going to make our requests be known unto God. We're going to write them on the big screen. We're going to put them up there. We're going to sing one song. Get us in the spirit of prayer. We're going to release prayer in the house. Then you can go wherever you want to and pray. Do however you want to. On the altars, we can set the altars around. You can sit at your chair, kneel at your chair. Go to the, I don't care. We're going to pray. All kinds of prayers. We're going to start sieging the enemy. We're going to get the enemy off our case. I'm tired of him messing with my family, and I'm tired of him messing with my church. Amen. And it's time the strongholds come down. You with me? You with me? I know it's summer. But who? If you got cancer, you don't care if it's summer. Come on. Your child's in a mess. You don't care if it's summer. You're about to bankrupt. You don't care if it's summer. We need to pray. It's time for Satan to bite the dust. What do you think? Pray anytime you want to. This candle altar is sitting here. This is what we set it here for us. We set it here for that purpose so that we can come in. You come in before the service and you light a candle. You can come in anytime during the day or night. You got a key. You can come in while we're here and pray. You know, I'm just stupid. I believe that he's seeking about, right? He can come take our candle altar. But we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to siege some strongholds. We're going to bring them down. Now, if this catches on, we're going to continue to pray. First Wednesday every month will be prayer night. Come and do some more sieging. Keep it clean. I believe after this month of prayer, I believe we're going to see such mighty things happen. All we got to do now is keep the house clean. We're going to bring it down. We're going to siege the enemy. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the weapons you've given us. Thank you for making us aware that there really is a devil, even in the kingdom. There's an enemy. Thank you, Lord. But not only is there an enemy, there are weapons. There are weapons to bring down every stronghold he puts in my life. There are weapons to bring down every stronghold in every life. There is a shield of faith that can quench every fiery dart. Father, I pray now in Jesus' name that you made us aware of this today. That it won't just be knowledge. Lord, it will be activated into our lives. And we can see cancer come down. We can see problems in homes and families come down. We can see marital situations come down. We can see all sorts of problems come down. Father, I pray now you release this in this house. And we become a church that prays. A church that seeks your face. A church, Lord, that prays one for another. Always. Put your head still bowed.